Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
At the mall, couldn't find a place to park. Threw my keys to the valet.
Hand that for me.
I was only there to hang, wasn't looking for a thing. I was just about to bounce, and then I saw Miss Lady. Then I said to myself, little thing, a couple of bags in her hand, right in front of Macy's.
That's why I'm picking up hands.
Then I saw her at the food court, sipping lemonade, conversating on a cell phone, looking so amazing. And I said to myself, take her to the cookout.
Yeah, her gon'
hang. Take her to my mama house.
Hey,
if she need a hair done,
my cousin can.
I'll treat her like a queen, give her everything.
She will be my girl till we old and gray.
And I knew it from the moment that I saw her love and love that. Some of your time. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, welcome everybody to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. First, I'm going to give all glory to God for letting me be here another day. And this is a nice, warm Friday weekend where I'm at. And I want to thank all my listeners, north to south, east to west, and all my people that listen in, the global ones. We're going to start with right at home, Hawaii, United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, Nigeria, Cameroon, Africa, Pakistan, Peru, Australia, Singapore, Iraq, and last to come aboard was France. Well, hello, everybody. I like that. But tonight's show is going to be short and sweet because we're going to have a phenomenal woman on here. Her name is Tina Hobson. She's an author. She has several businesses. She has her own radio show, so she's going to give me about an hour of her time. So if y'all want to call in, don't be shy. The number is 347-945-6003. You hit the number one key, lets me know your arm is up and you got a statement or a comment. But before I bring her on, I want to say hello to my beautiful co-host that I can't do without her, my baby girl, Felicia. How you doing, darling?
Hi, Tammy. How are you? I just wanted to say hello to all the listeners out there. And like you said before, thank you so much for coming out and hanging out with us girls on this Friday night. And I'm so excited to get into this with our beautiful and voluptuous guests.
So yes.
I just wanted to say hello.
Yes. Our guest, Tina Hobson, is out of Ohio. And, you know, she runs her own radio show about superwoman, where she empowers women to, you know, be the best you can be. And she's working on a book 4 and 5, and she's a mom of 3, a grandmother of 3, great-grandmother of 1. And she believes that her deliverance from alcohol and drugs is the greatest asset she has to offer the world. And I'm inclined to believe that because, you know, we're not going to get through life without going through something because we got to go through a test to see what we're going to do, whether we're going to turn away from God or find our way to God, you know. And when I was out there messing around, you know, I thought God had left me. No, God was always there, and he kept me. And my own autobiography called Broken is available on Amazon, Kindle, Creative Space, or my personal website, terrylyle.com. And I will explicitly share my walk falling from grace as a preacher's kid and how I got caught up into swinging, drugs, abuse, homelessness, you know. I did a whole lot of stuff, so it is what it is. But you know something, that alter ego, Bubblicious, made me who I am today, author is Terry Law. And I thank Felicia for reminding me of that because I used to say, dag. You know, she said, no, you're still phenomenal. You had to be this before you became that. And Tina, she's going to share a little bit about herself, you know, and she's a phenomenal woman. You better listen up. Without further ado, hey, Tina.
Well, hey, Terry, how are you? And Felicia, how are you tonight?
I'm better than you here.
Yeah. It's been a while. It hasn't been that long since we talked, though. But thank you for having me on your show tonight. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Always. Well, share a little bit about yourself
strange,
so you want people to know right out the gate.
It feels strange being on the other end.
I know, right?
Yeah, it did. Oh.
Cat got your tongue, Tina?
Oh, no, I thought you were saying something. I'm sorry.
I said tell people a little bit about yourself, and I got quiet.
Oh, okay. So you want me to tell you a little bit about me?
Yeah, let the world know who Tina is, you know, because it took a whole lot of work to be the phenomenal woman that you are today.
Okay. Well, I guess I can start where I usually start with my guests. The first question I always ask my guests is, who are you? And when that question is posed to me, I simply say I'm not a product of my environment. I'm not a product of who and what I've been in the past. My past does not define who I am. I am a child of God. I believe with all of my heart that all things are possible. If you believe, and not only just believe, when you put the work in, faith without works is dead. I'm a person who believes in hard work. I'm a person who believes in not only when my time comes, I'm not going to just leave my family an inheritance because I might not leave them no money. I'm going to try to spend all of it as much as I can because I like to shop. So they might not get no money, but what they will get is a strong work ethic. They'll get morals. They'll get values. they don't have somebody that they say that they were able to look up to despite all of the things in my past, you know, because my kids, they saw my past. My grandchildren didn't. My great-granddaughter hasn't. But if I were to leave this world today, I know I'll leave respected. So that's pretty much, that's who I am.
You know, something I'm glad you said that. And I want to make a point to everybody out there listening. You know, y'all got to stop pointing fingers at people because what they used to do, because everyone is listening to the sound of my voice. You got a pass, I got a pass. And, you know, none of y'all came out unscathed, if you be honest, you know. And when you're pointing that finger at somebody, there's three pointing back at you. So, you know, it's good that when someone went through something and got over it and came out, you know, on the other side, a lot of people started something, like I got into stuff and never recovered, and they stuck, you know. And thank God that you were strong enough to pull yourself out of that, because pulling yourself out of mess ain't easy. I don't care what nobody say.
Right. It took a lot of work. I truly give all praise, honor, and credit to God because he didn't give up on me. And that's what my solo book is all about. It's entitled, Oh, How He Loves Me, Reflections of God's Love for Me and for You. And each chapter is broken down into, first of all, I give you a Bible verse, and then the chapter talks about how each period of my life connects with that Bible verse. It talks about everything. Nobody can say that they know anything about me that I haven't put out there in the public. Now, what you want to do with my past mess, I don't care what you do with it. People say, well, I'm not telling everybody everything. I'm going to tell it all. Now, if you want it, you can have it. I don't need it anymore. You don't need to tell me about what I used to do, because guess what? I was there. And unless I was in a blackout, I know what I did. I know who I did. I know how I did it. I know why I did it. I know the whole nine yards. You don't need to remind me of what I used to do and who I used to be like. I already know. And guess what? I wrote a book and told everybody about it. So now what you got to say about that? You know, so my book, it talks about me. It talks about my trials, my tribulations. But every chapter talks about how God still loved me. Had he not loved me, had he not given up on me, I wouldn't be sitting here on the Terry Lyle Show tonight, believe me. Because my story involves not only drugs and alcohol, prostitution, it involves suicidal thoughts, it involves suicidal attempts, it involved me ending up in a mental institution, then in drug and alcohol treatment. It's the whole gamut of me, and I know exactly how it happened. As a child, I lost my aunt, who was my best friend. I was a child in the age where you were supposed to be seen and not heard. So I'm this little girl with all of these feelings, with all of these emotions. I didn't know they were feelings. I didn't know they were emotions. I knew I was mad because nobody asked me any questions. I knew I was sad because I was missing my best friend. I knew I was lonely because she was there for me breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I knew all of that. I knew I didn't have my backbone there for me anymore. And I remember very, very vividly telling God, don't nobody love me. You know, nobody cares about me. Nobody's talking to me. They're talking at me and they're talking about me, but they're not talking to me. And I guess since nobody loves me, and God, you took my eyes. I know you did. So, hey, I'm through with you and everybody else. And I could just see him say, okay, let me see you do this. And he allowed me almost 25 years to run riot, self-will run riot. But he was still there. You know, he was still there. He just let me go so far. And he brought me back up. I love him so much. Oh, Jesus, yes.
Praise God.
Wow.
You want to say something? So go ahead, Felicia.
Yeah. I was just listening to this woman of wisdom. You know, one thing that I've learned, and I'm probably, I was listening to you say, bless God, you have children, grandchildren, and a great-grand. That right there and in itself speaks volumes and sounds like you've been through a lot and walked through a lot, and to be able to still be here to see your great-grandbaby is a blessing. One of the things that you said about leaving a legacy, a lot of people think it's about money, and you're absolutely right. You can leave your family millions of dollars, but if you don't leave them wisdom, them millions can be gone that day. So I think the best gift that you can give your kids and your grandkids and great-grandchildren is the legacy that you leave of your wisdom, your experiences, your knowledge, your love and your care and your support, because money will come along with those things. You know, the Bible talks about that. So we focus on money so much, so I was just glad to hear you say that, because I say that a lot, and a lot of people are always talking about money, but nobody wants to talk about imparting wisdom and things like that to their families, and that's important. But I just wanted to ask you, when you were going through all of these things and these, you know, and you said you were out there for 25 years, how many times, and I mean, I know you're not going to give me a, but how many times did you think, why am I doing this? And did you have those moments where you bounced back and forth and say, you know, I want to do better, and you just didn't know how, or how did you get there?
Well, you know, what it began, I was like around 19 or 20, and I was already out there. I was already out there. And I honestly did not believe that I was going to make it to the age of 21. I just didn't see that happening, you know, because there have been shootouts, there have been kidnappings, there have been threats to tie cement boots to my feet and throw me in the lake. It, you know, so much had happened, beatings, rapes, just so many things that happened. I honestly did not believe that I was going to live to see the age of 21. And you know what? I think once I did, it was like, part of it was like a celebration. God, I made it. I didn't say God. I made it. Because as long as things were going okay, I took the credit. But when things weren't going good, guess who I blamed? And I had it all wrong. But I kind of felt like it was kind of like a celebration, and that I like owed this lifetime party to myself. But then on the other hand, there were times that I just felt lonely within my own skin. I felt unnecessary. I felt unworthy. I felt ashamed. I felt guilt, because by then, a few years later, you know, I've had kids, and my mom and my dad were taking care of my kids. I knew that I should have been there, but the drugs had me, and I couldn't. And I explained that to my daughter. You know, we've had talks over the years, and even had one not too long ago, maybe a week or so ago, that it wasn't that I didn't love you. I just couldn't, because something had a hold on me so strong that when I tried to go right, I ended up going left. If I wanted to go straight, I ended up going backwards. And I wasn't me. So I had to, after getting sober, and it'll be 27 years on the 2nd of November, I had to teach people to separate the person from the behavior. Because it wasn't the same. The things that I did was not me. I can remember my sister asking me, what happened to you? Why don't you love me anymore? I said, baby, I never stopped loving you. It was just times that I couldn't show my love for you. I didn't know. I just couldn't, because, like I said, that thing had a hold on me. I used everything from acid to shooting heroin. Oh, thank God I'm done with that. You, all these people dying off of this heroin today, I would have been gone. I would have been gone. Crack cocaine, alcohol, marijuana, the whole nine yards. I did it. Mm-hmm. I did people, places, and things. Whatever made me feel the way I thought I wanted to feel, I did it. Mm-hmm. I did it either
wow.
to you or I let you do it to me.
Mm. That's deep, sister. Can I say this, though? I'm probably the baby on the line. But I heard you just said you said something that you said to your daughter. And being a child, I can't speak on this side of being on drugs, but I can speak on the side of the child that has a parent or parents on drugs. And how
God bless you.
And the things that we lose and the things that we don't understand. Yes. One thing I want to say to you, if you don't mind, and this with every bit of respect in my heart to you,
yes.
The next time somebody asks you, why didn't you love me, don't say because I couldn't. Just say because I didn't know how. There's a difference. You just mm-hmm. didn't know how at that time. Because it's not that you didn't love him. You said it yourself. It's not that I didn't love you. I just couldn't. But it's not that you didn't love him. You just didn't know how. Because you didn't even know how to love yourself at that moment.
Oh, well, I surely didn't. I surely didn't.
But there's a difference between you couldn't and you didn't know how. And honestly, you just didn't know how at that moment. It's just that you couldn't. You just didn't know how. Because you love
him. We're going to hold that thought, ladies, because we got to take a little small break, and we'll be back and back with the phenomenal Tina Hobson. Need to listen in.
Thank you, Felicia.
Controversial. Real. Unparalleled. Authoress Terry E. Lyle has written an autobiography entitled Broken. Terry talks about overcoming her personal battle with suicide, being homeless, selling and using drugs, and living the life of a swinger. She found that with prayer and her belief in God is real, that she was blessed to overcome all adversity to becoming the woman and authoress she is today. The book is $20 and can be purchased through Amazon, Kindle, createspace.com, and from her own personal website at www.terrylyle.com. It's yours today. And make sure you tune in to hear Terry on Unmasked every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on blogtalkradio.com. The number 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. And remember, through God's grace and mercy, all things are possible, for he would not leave you nor forsake
me. that I needed in this world. You are the one for me.
One for me.
Let me hold you in my arms. Girl, and thrill you with my charms. I'm sure you will see.
You will see.
The things I say are true.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Authoress Terry Lau on Unmasked Radio Show. I was just sitting here thinking, and I was thinking about Tina and her book. Tina, I definitely want to get a copy of your book, you know, and I love you, sis, and I want people to understand. Tina, she believes that her deliverance from alcohol and drugs is the greatest asset she has to offer the world, and that's true. Tina's presently the producer and hostess of I Am a Superwoman Radio Network, not a segment, network. She got other people under her network doing their thing, and a licensed social worker in the state of Ohio. Tina was an officer with Toastmasters International, and Tina believes that with hard work, tenacity, but most of all having faith in the provider of all, which is God, all things are possible. And she's from Maple Heights, Ohio, and she operates her business there. But what I like to say to Tina is that, did you become a social worker because of what you went through in life, or because that was just something you were just geared to, just helping other people?
You know what? I helped other people when I was getting high. So I I think
all right now.
I love people all the time. I can remember, you know, always wanting to babysit when I was a little girl, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just I loved having people around me. And, I couldn't talk all the time inside the home. But, you know, when I babysat or I was over a friend's house, I got to run my mouth. So I like to talk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe it was already in me. But once I went through the treatment and everything, and I'm going to be real, real honest. I'm going to be just real, real honest. Not all people who say that they're not all people that are in the helping profession are actually helpers. And
I can believe
what
that.
I saw and what I experienced, not everybody, because there were some beautiful counselors that I had that I would love to life and back. But there were some, mm-hmm. they would make bets if you're going to make it. They would make bets if you're going to come back, if you're going to relapse. You know, they would
wow.
treat you and talk to you any kind of way. I believe in tough love to a certain extent, but sometimes it became abusive. It became truly mm-hmm. abusive. And I made up my mind that if I were to become a helper or become a member of the helping profession, I would never, ever treat my clients the way that I saw some other people treat them. So I had,
wow.
I was on a mission. I was actually on a mission to, not publicly, but internally, to make a difference in the lives of people who had went through what I went through. Because some of them, like I said, some of them weren't treated real well. They just weren't.
Wow.
I feel you.
Wow.
Because you know why? You know, I've seen some people when they're dealing with defects or department of, you know, when you go through issues with your children and whatever, taking them from your home. And a lot of times I've seen them take, these social workers take people out of their home where someone is caring for them, you know, after they had realized that there's no basis for it, and tear up families. And I don't understand that, and they lie and be deceitful. You know, I said, Dad, I said, how are you going to be a social worker? And y'all can just see, this is not working right. These people need to be, you know, looked out for. But, you know, everybody ain't good. I don't care what profession you're in.
Right. Absolutely.
Girl,
it's not the
easiest. You know, again, you have to remember to separate the person from the behavior. I'm not mm-hmm. what I did. I'm not what I said. I'm not the way I acted. Under normal circumstances, that was not me. that was everybody that you said or you think that I slept with, I didn't sleep with them. You can't tell me what you think I did. I know what I did. Like I said, I was there. And I know what I didn't do. Okay? So how are you going to tell me what I did? And then they want to label you defensive or, you know, they want to call you, you know, you're not telling the truth. You're not being honest. I was as honest as I possibly could be. I'm the only one I know that when I would do something wrong, I would be the first one to go tell it. Because I knew I was wrong. This is after I was, you know, was clean 10, 20, 30, 40, 90 days. I knew the, you know, I knew the difference between right and wrong. I always did. And sometimes I would tell the truth on me. Maybe sometimes to defend, you know, to defend somebody else. But regardless, the truth is the truth. And I was set free.
Wow. I want to ask you this. Was there a pivoting or a turning point for you that made you say, okay, this is enough for me. I'm ready to do things right. What was that turning point for you?
I had lost everything. And I probably had lost my mind, too, because I was doing some insane things, some real, real insane things. Anytime the dope boy tells you you need to stop smoking dope, that's bad. That's bad. I'm paying you. I'm not paying you to be my counselor. Just give me my stuff, okay? Yeah. Nobody asked you anything.
Wow.
But when a dope boy tells you, lady, you need to stop. You really need to stop. You look terrible. And
whoa,
it didn't happen immediately, but as I had lost my home, I had one payment on my car, couldn't pay it. My kids looking at me real crazy. My sister's wondering where did her sister go. It was just retarded. And I'm sitting in the back of this store, and I can't say it was where I worked. It was where I got paid. But it wasn't about me working. It was about me, you know, being able to have access to that cash register. That's all that was about. That was all it was about. And I'm sitting on the side of this cot. This man literally gave me a place to stay when I lost my home in the back of this store where I worked at. And there were days I'm in the store and I couldn't get to work. I'm only, you know, all I had to do was wake up. I'm living in the back of the store and couldn't get to work. Okay? That's how bad it got. That's how bad it got. And I'm sitting on the side of this cot one night, one early morning, and it was God. It was nobody but God, the Holy Spirit. I said, just help me. Just help me. You know, I'm out of dope, but I had been out of dope before. So, but this time was different. The owner of the place where I was employed at, he was a member of a 12-step program, and he had been asking me, did I think I had a problem? And I told him my only problem was you keep asking me, do I have a problem? No, I don't. But what
when
got
it hold on your stuff, though, I understand.
Okay. The prayers of the righteous avail as much. Let me tell you, every day at the end of the workday, he would get on his knees and pray for me.
Thank you, Lord.
He would pray for me every single day. My prayer was, would you hurry up and finish so I can get the money out of the cash register? But his prayer was so much deeper and so much stronger than mine. And I sat in that room, in the back of that room, in the storage area one night, and I'm like, God, help me. Just God, help me. And the next day, I had surrendered. That was my surrender. And the next day, I told this gentleman that, you know, I was ready to get some help. And the rest is history.
Well, thank
you. Wow, I'm so glad. Yes.
Yes, because if it had not been for him, I don't know where you would be. And that's what we don't understand. Sometimes when we think, that we're going through something, there's no one there to help you. And there'd be angels among us, but we just so caught up into what we're doing and what we're craving. And lately I've been watching these shows on TV, Drug Incorporated, talking about different kinds of drugs in different states. And I saw one episode yesterday about heroin, that stuff I didn't know, and it was talking about the DTs and stuff and the different locations that people, you know, where they put their drugs at. I say, what? You know, it's like, you know, it's amazing that you were able to come away from that you was able to kick that, because that ain't no easy drug to kick. And a lot of times they were saying that people started with, you know, pain pills, and then because of pain pills, they couldn't get them no more. They graduated to heroin because it was cheaper, and they were showing some black tar, and then they were showing some gold-colored kind where, you know, you can just snort it. I said, oh, my goodness.
Well, mine all started with alcohol. People want to defend the alcohol, but alcohol will lead you. I truly believe if I hadn't been under the influence of alcohol, I wouldn't have tried all those other things. And just one thing led to another.
Under the impression that that's something that you just can't get off like that. So it had to be God. You know, you said you was in the back of that shop and you said, heal me, you know, take it away from me. You was able to do it cold turkey?
Yes.
Praise God.
Because where I ended up at was not where I expected. Because, I imagined in my head what treatment was all about. I had no clue that when I went to the emergency room here, and it turned out to be a psychiatric emergency room, because I really was crazy. I didn't know I was, but the thing, my behaviors was crazy. I wasn't, but my behaviors were. And they were telling me that, you know, they were going to give me the help and everything that I needed. They put me in a mental institution. They literally.
Well, when you around crazy people, does it make you feel like you're crazy too, or you feel like you're the normal one in the bunch, and it makes you uncomfortable?
Girl, I dogged these people so bad until I realized one day where I was really at. I'm like, oh crap, I'm in here with them, and it wasn't because of things that I couldn't control, or you know that. I was there because of something I had did to myself. These people were there because of genetic, you know, predispositions, and, you know, they were bipolar and schizophrenic and, you know, all of those schizoaffective disorder and all of major depressive and all of those things. I was there because of something that I did to myself. And when that light bulb went off, Terry, my life truly changed. I went into my bedroom one night because I was tripping, and they kept telling me I could leave anytime I wanted to. I wasn't going nowhere near that door. I didn't have nowhere to go.
Okay.
I didn't have nowhere to go. And so after tripping and God revealing things to me, I'm in my room one night, and I'm by myself, and, oh, my God, the strangest thing happened. I wanted to pray. I'm like, where did that come from? You know?
Wow.
And I didn't know what to do. And so the next thing, I ended up on my knees. And I'm like, wait a minute. This ain't real. This, you know, I hadn't done this. And so I said, well, okay, I'm down here. Now what? And so the Lord's Prayer came to mind, but Terry and Felicia, I didn't know the words anymore. They say if you don't use it, you'll lose it.
Wow.
I'm trying to say, Our Father who temptation in heaven, and I messed it all up. I messed that prayer up so bad. But I'm in this dark room. I'm not getting up. I'm not getting up. I'm messing up, but I'm not getting up. And all of a sudden, because I want to say this grandiose prayer. I want to really impress God. I want the sky to open up he come down on this rainbow and tell me what a good person I am, right? And yeah. that wasn't even about to happen. That was not about to happen. And so I'm on my knees in this dark room, and Terry, words started coming out of my mouth. And I looked around, I'm like, who is in here with me? I mean, the words are coming out of my mouth, but I'm not saying them. And Terry and Felicia, the words that came, oh, Jesus, the words that came out of my mouth was my childhood prayer. Lord, I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
Okay.
And I'm like, where did this, I said, if I had remembered this prayer, I wouldn't have said it. I'm grown. I'm 36 years old, sitting in the mental institution, but I'm grown, okay? And I'm like, wait a minute, where did this come from? And God gave me the message. He said, baby, I had to make you childlike again, because I need to mold you, shape you, bend you, and put you back into the order that I originally meant for you to be. You've got to lay down, then you've got to crawl, then I'll let you walk, then you will run. He said, right now, you got to be a baby. Because if you think you know anything, this is not going to work. And I'm like, oh, my whole attitude changed. My whole attitude. I mean, I wasn't an angel. I'm not going to proclaim all of that. But my attitude changed. Still didn't like me. Was a long way from loving me. I still didn't even like me. But as time went by, he let me crawl a little bit. He let me stand up a little bit. He let me walk a little bit. And look where I'm at today.
Yeah. Wow. Absolutely incredible. Well, he did say, and a little child shall lead them, and he'll use the foolish to conform the wise. So sometimes he has to take us back to those childhood spaces where he can really get our attention.
Yeah.
That's a blessing.
Yeah.
That was a
blessing. Oh, it is. Believe me.
Wow. She's so funny the way she tells the story. It's like I felt like I was there.
It's a little bit of time that I definitely got to get your book, young lady.
You got it.
But I'm going to let Felicia ask her question, and then I'm going to let you tell everybody about how to get your books and how to contact you and a little bit more about your Superwoman Network, not just radio network, because you're doing a lot of stuff.
Okay, thank you.
It's a question, but I wanted to ask, that I want to ask you, as a child growing up with a drug addicted mom. A lot of times we don't understand as kids, and I'm 48 years old now, and I have children and grandchildren myself now. But there are still questions that I would love to have asked my mom. My mom's gone now, but what would you say? Because, I mean, I know that you've already had a conversation with your children, but there's always a question in the back of our heads, and I have to be honest as to why, you know, that, you know, we experience those things with our parents. If you could say anything to your children, what would it be?
That's deep.
And you know, and the reason that I asked the question, and I'm gonna tell you why I asked the question. My mom's gone, and in my heart, I love my mom. I forgave my mom.
Yeah.
I still hurt today for some of the things that her choices still hurt me. But I know in my heart, my mom did love me. She just had some issues. You're here, so I wanted to ask you, what would you say to your children? Because it gives you an opportunity to share your heart with them and for them to at least get a little bit of an understanding. You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah. What the major thing, and because I would have to go back, but the bottom line is that, you know, I did the best I could with what I had. And I could go back by saying, today, back in my day, everything was kept in the closet. You don't talk, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Kids are seen and not heard. There was nothing, like I said, when my aunt died, nobody asked me how I felt. So I was full of so many different emotions that eventually, it's like Felicia, it's like a garbage can in your house or in your garage. Mm-hmm. You can keep filling it up and thinking when you put the top on it, it's not there anymore because you don't see it. But eventually, that top is going to pop. It's going to come straight off of that can. And it's not going to be a pretty picture. It's going to be trash all over the place. That's what I look like, a garbage can that had been stuffed with feelings and emotions and feelings and emotions and all of this stuff. And when it popped addiction. It popped, you know, wanting to have sex, wanting to smoke cigarettes, wanted to try this, wanted to try that. I tried it until it just took a hold over me. And so the things that I ended up doing, they weren't, like I said, it wasn't me. It was not me. But in the meantime, you know, all I can say is I did the best I could with what I had. Because I didn't have anything. I started drinking. Well, I used to drink with my aunt. I didn't drink with her, but she was a little winemaker, and I was a little taste tester. So I always liked the taste of alcohol, you know. Okay. And so I wasn't a stranger to it. So when I really got into it, I never thought that it was going to take control over me. Whoever thinks that that's going to happen. But one day you wake up in a ditch, or you wake up, you didn't hit a fence, or you wake up in your driveway and don't know how you got there, you know you didn't cross the line.
Absolutely.
But it's so hard to get back over on the other side of that line, though.
Right. Let me ask you a question. It's a little off the topic, but kind of still on topic. I've seen coming up, a lot of people have given children beer, and they think that shit is cute. And to me, why are you going to give a child, you know, beer? What you trying to see, how they react? And I ain't never understood why some adults out there think it's cute to give children beer, unless maybe they had an alcoholism problem, and so they just trying to share the nonsense. What do you think about that?
That's again, separating the person from the behavior, because a normal person would not give their child no drugs. And alcohol is a drug. You know, these are probably usually during times when, you know, they got friends and they showing off, and they're not in their right mind. They're not in their right mind. And because to give a child, you know, alcohol, a normal person knows that alcohol will screw with a grown person's brain. What is it going to do to that baby's brain? You know,
but then you got to determine what normal means, though.
Yeah. Well, under the influence, you're not normal, no kind of way. And you get if you want to get technical, there's a term called homeostasis. Even when the family is dysfunctional, it's been dysfunctional so long, its dysfunction is normal.
Absolutely, and that's what I'm saying. You have to determine what's normal. I'm a psychology student, so I understand exactly what you're saying. So that's why I say you just got to determine what's normal, because what might be normal in one home might not be normal in the next home.
Absolutely. So in that home, Terry, doing what they did, that was normal. As dysfunctional as it was, it was okay.
Well, let me just say this. We don't have much time because you got so many things on your plate, and we really appreciate, me and Felicia, you spending the time with us. So we got about 10 minutes. So I need you to give somebody to run down, take your time, give your personal shout-out, tell them how to get your book, how much it costs. Don't forget Author is Terry Long. I want to get that book to you, girl.
Okay. Well, I want to offer to any of your listeners, Terry, do it whatever way you want to do it, for three people who hit you up, I'll give them the instructions for a free audio book. Okay.
Cool.
Okay. So any way you want to do it, do it. And they can call you. They can text you, come to the chat room, inbox you, whatever. You just let me know, and I will send the instructions for the audio book. But the, I'm really, really proud of Oh, How He Loves Me. That was my first solo book. They can get it from my website. To keep it simple, all anybody has to do is Google either Tina Hobson or I Am a Superwoman Too. All of my information will come up, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. Oh, you can get me on Facebook when you can't get me on the phone. Okay, some people say they like text the better. But that's how I do my promotions. That's how I run my businesses, promotion, as far as promoting. And Facebook has been really, really good to me.
So all of my listeners out there, you heard it from her, from her own lips, that, you know, contact me to give your audio book to Author of Terry Long. I need to see it on paper. I want to put it in my book. You know, I don't want no audio nothing. You know, but
I'm
going to take it home. And again, much love to you, sis. Thank you for coming on. And next week we got Nathan Ware, this guy, a man of God, who's going to sing.
Woo!
He's going to make your soul say, yeah. You know, so we're going to
bring it. He's going to tell you how to shake the devil off. Okay.
Yeah. So you got to learn how to shake the devil because he's on your heels, baby. You got to get one foot in front of the other. So go on, Felicia.
Yes.
Give your shout out, baby. We're going to take this thing home.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Felicia.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I want to shout out your kids. I don't know them, but I'm just going to say from my own experience, it's not really too much to shout out. Just if your children are listening, I want them to, whatever, if they have anything that's they're harboring in their hearts and they don't know how to let go, just understand. I had to come to grips with, my mom was the best mom that she knew how to be. So when you said it, it just resonated. And I want them to take advantage of every opportunity to love up on you while you're still here. Because when you're gone, all of that's not going to matter. I miss my mother every day. And when she was here, my life was hell chasing her in the streets. But I would rather have her here chasing her in the streets than to have her gone. So now that she's gone, I'm just saying to your children, you're still here. They still have an opportunity to love you. It's not going to matter when you're not here. Love your mom. Respect your mom and forgive her and just allow her to be who she is in your life today. It taught you something, but it also made them stronger. They might not be able to see it, but your grandkids are going to see it and your great-grandkids are going to see it. What you went through is a, it's turned into a blessing. Love up on your mom.
To have my daughter call me or text me and just say, I love you, Mom, and to be able to have my great-granddaughter, I keep her every other weekend, that is nothing but God.
Precious.
That's nothing but
God. Yes, precious.
Yeah, and I want people
so
to understand
different.
That regardless of what someone go through and whether they might be out of character, you know, just because they caught up into the mental results, the symptoms of whatever addiction it may be, the love don't change. It's still family, regardless, at the end of the day. Like Felicia said, I'd rather you be here messed up than your space be gone, because we can always fix things if you're here. But if we out of here, you know, we can't fix nothing. So on that note, thank you, Tina. Thank you, Felicia. We take this home.
Thank you both.
Thank you for coming on the show.
I love you too. Oh, my God, you made me feel so comfortable. Thank you.
Anytime, baby, you can come back.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again. Why'd you have to leave so soon? Why'd you have to go? Why'd you have to leave me when I needed you the most? 'Cause I don't really know how to tell you without feeling much worse. I know you're in a better place, but it's always gonna hurt. Carry on. Give me all the strength I need to carry on. It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again. Feeling so cold, I'll be waiting right here for you till the day you're home. Carry on.